Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, good afternoon on this cold Kentucky afternoon. Yes, for us living in the state of Kentucky, my friend, it is cold out, it has snowed, and some of us cannot get out of our house because there's too much snow in our driveway and on our roads. However, the Lord is still great, He's still in control, and He's still on His throne forever and ever. Amen. So, my friends, tonight we're going to be reading through Luke, the 15th chapter, and let us all pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You for today. We thank You, Lord Jesus Christ, for the blessings You give us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for bringing redemption to us, for dying upon the cross that You thought of us, that through Your blood You redeemed us through Your blood, Lord, and cleansed us, Lord, so we may sit with You in Your kingdom as of now and when we go there physically one day, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Let's now turn to chapter 15 in Luke. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Him, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them He addressed this parable: "Man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, will not leave 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he found it. And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice! Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents over 99 righteous people who have no need." And right here, if any of you out there who listen to this right now and who have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior because you got it into your head that the enemy has put in there that what you did in your life, God will never forgive you. Well, the whole purpose for Jesus dying upon the cross, He was that shepherd searching for you. He came down from heaven to be a man and to die upon the cross for you. And dying upon the cross for you, it meant He was going to bear your guilt for your sin, for you, for being the sacrificial lamb, and die for you. And the fact of it is, by doing this for you, He made it easy for you to come to the Father, because you cannot come to the Father but through Jesus Christ. And by coming to Him, you are welcomed, because you are forgiven. The Lord has not put any requirements upon you that you cannot come to Him. You can come to Him now and repent of your sin and be forgiven, because the Heavenly Father believes you are worth it. Jesus will tell you you are worth it. Jesus even said over here that in heaven over one sinner who repents is the rejoice over it. Think about it. Creator of the universe, who made all living things, who made everything in the universe, rejoices, as well as His holy angels, as well as His holy saints who are in heaven, rejoice over one person who repents of their sin and goes and sins no more. They rejoice because now they are part of the family of God. Now they are part of the kingdom of heaven. like you two can be today. You too can be family of God. Because the Lord, He sees us all the same. And He reaches out to everyone. Doesn't matter what kind of background you had or what you may have done in your past. The past is over. Let it go. Give it to Jesus to throw away into the sea of forgetfulness and be a new creature. Be reborn through Jesus Christ and be a part of the family of God. Live with Jesus Christ, who wants you in His family. Let Him live within you and keep on molding you and keep on making you into the person He knows you can be. Let Him lead you and teach you who you're supposed to be. Walk humbly with your God, for the past is over, a new beginning has begun. Let's go into the next parable, because these are good parables here about how Jesus explains about how the Heavenly Father is. And you know what? When we read about the life of Jesus Christ, who is God upon the earth, we know about God the Father and the Spirit. Now, I know some of you may be confused about this because for you, for yourself and for myself, I cannot say I'm Kelly, but separate myself from myself and say that's Kelly too. Correct? But the Heavenly Father is the Heavenly Father. He is a Spirit. Yes, He could rule the universe. He could be here upon the earth. He could be thousands of ways, billions of ways in the Milky Way doing something else. He could be in the next level of heaven, the kingdom of heaven itself. And yet, He could also be the Son and the Holy Spirit all at once. For you and I, it's kind of a contemplating thing to think about it. Think about this. This will really freak you out. If God did not exist, would nothingness exist? How would everything be? Kind of creepy to think about, isn't it? Your mind can't conform that because God even said that He was here from the beginning. So if He was here from the beginning and there was just Him, wow. It means that nothing would not exist if He wasn't here. Kind of a thing to think about. But anyway, what I'm trying to point out is that God is in control of everything. Everything He makes is in His motion. He could even be God upon the earth in the form of Jesus Christ, but at the same time, His Spirit, His big Spirit is out there too, where it could tell the disciples of Jesus. It could even tell the people who saw the baptism of Christ to say, and everyone could hear Him say, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." Think about that. And He also could be the Holy Spirit, because the Lord is pretty big, you might. And what do you think when Satan hears even the name of Jesus? He trembles, because he knows the full power of God. And you wonder, well, what made him think he could take over heaven? Because he's crazy. He has to be crazy. The Heavenly Father is a righteous Father, and He's not a bully. Satan's a bully. He'll try to make you feel like you're a piece of dirt and don't belong, and you're not worth for God's forgiveness. And he can't get into a religious institution, as he did with the Jewish Pharisees over here, and the Pharisees would say, well, geez, complaining that Jesus was eating with sinners. Well, these people, I have to say, were sinners. Because Jesus did talk to them when they were sinners, but they repented, and that's why they were following Him. But according to the religious belief of the Pharisees, it didn't matter if they repented of their sin, they were still sinners to them. That's why Jesus did this parable explaining to them that, like a shepherd, a shepherd would go out and find his lost flock. And that's what God does. He goes out and does his lost, he searches for his lost flaw. And that's as we are supposed to do when we are saved by grace, by the grace of Jesus Christ, when he tells you and I to continue his ministry upon the earth until he returns, that we are supposed to go out there and search for the lost flocks out there who need to hear the word of Jesus Christ and to repent of their sin, that there is hope for them, that repentance is here. The kingdom of heaven is here, right here upon the earth. Let us repent. And that is what we're supposed to be doing. And let us not chase anyone away and declare no one should be welcome into the kingdom of heaven if because of their past background. If they come into your church and want to repent, let us rejoice because they are no longer that person who they once were. They are now in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the next verse. Or a woman having 10 coins and losing one would not light a lamp and sweep the house searching carefully until she finds it. And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, rejoice with me because I have found them. I have found the coin that I lost. In just the same way, I tell you, so there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who will repent. Again, the rejoicing of the heaven, as we know right up here, the angels in heaven rejoice because one sinner has repented. And see, Jesus is using the examples of our human experience about what we rejoice over finding things. And in this case, this woman found the coin. More than likely, if she didn't find the coin, she might be in trouble financially, but the coin meant something to her financially, right? So the Lord, he looks at, this is how he rejoices. He rejoices by one soul being found. Imagine the real celebration of 1,000 souls repent of their sins. So let us not, Pharisees, and criticize one of our own going to people who we don't consider unworthy. We have no right to judge. That's why Jesus tells you and I, do not judge. So you and I have no right to judge anyone and say, they don't have the right to follow Christ. They don't have the right to be in my church. Who gave you the right to be that judge? You have no right to judge. Only one person can judge, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll be judging you for turning someone away from him, turning someone away from the Lord Jesus Christ. We, you and I, aren't supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be like fishermen, like Peter was. Let's go out there and let's bring in the fish. Let's bring in the lost soul. And let's bring them in to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's not question them how they repented of their sin. Everyone on the face of this planet has come to Christ in a different way. That is a fact. But as long as they repent of their sins and come to Jesus Christ, so what? That's the celebration right there, that they have received Jesus within their lives. And they're now, they're with Jesus Christ, and they want Jesus in their lives. You and I should never, never persuade anyone to think that they're not really saved. Who are we to put on the Christ crown, the crown that Jesus bore, and say, you have no right to be a part of the body of Christ. You have no right to be with Jesus. You and I are not supposed to be doing that. We are not the judge. Only Christ is. And as I'm reading over here, if someone wants to come to him, he will never turn you away. So my friend, if you are out there and you are lost, and have not repented of your sins yet, but you want to, but you think that what I did God will never forgive me what I did to my wife. And for a woman, might say, what I did to my husband, what I did to my children, what I did to my whole family, what I did to my neighbor, what I did to a stranger. The Lord will never forgive me for what I did. But the thing of it is, He will. And the world may say, well, how could God forgive you because you did this terrible thing? But the fact of it is, the Lord does not think like man does. Whatever you've done in your past, and you're sorry for it, and you're repentful, and you come to Him and you want Him in your life, He will forgive you. That's why so many people who Jesus is, what do you think? Why do you think the religious leadership of the time rejected Jesus? Because He accepted people that the world will not accept. But He, who is part of the kingdom of heaven, who is the kingdom of heaven, said, come and follow me. Go, sin no more. And that's what He did. He brought them back. Because through His sacrifice, He made everyone clean who repented their sin. He prayed for you upon the cross when He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was not only saying that, but the enemies who were there blaspheming Him, He was saying it about you as well, and about me. See what it is. He wanted to wipe you clean. He didn't want you to be living a dirty life. And so many times the enemy, who is Satan, does enter into religion. And the church will even fall into the religious trap of saying who is saved and who is not saved, and who is chosen to be saved and who is not chosen to be saved. In fact, the author of Anne of Green Gables, I think her name was Montgomery, I believe. Anyway, her husband was a Presbyterian pastor, and yet if he preached the gospel, he believed he was not chosen to go to heaven. And that worried him. And that even made him the cause of him to have a nervous breakdown. But the thing of it is, because he was a Presbyterian, and that Presbyterians do believe this, and I have to say to my Presbyterian brothers and sisters in Christ, you're wrong about this, that everyone is called to come to Christ, but it's free will that makes people must come to Him. And if the author of Anne of Green Gables' husband was called into ministry by the Lord, why would the Lord also tell him, yes, preach my word and bring in the lost sheep, but by the way, you're not going to come to my kingdom. You're going to die and go to hell. It kind of sends a confusing message, does it not, now? Well, the Lord isn't like that. The Lord calls all people, have the right to follow Him, or continue on going on the ways of the world. He's not going to reject anyone. Once you accept Christ Jesus as your Savior, that's it. You're saved. And you live according to His will. And you bring other people to Christ. He's not going to call you into ministry and tell you, well, you're not really saved anyway, but come on and preach the gospel. The thing of it is, if you're not saved, you can't preach the gospel. And let me tell you why. Because you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you if you're trying to preach the gospel to someone, if you are not saved. The only way you can preach the gospel is if you were saved and have the Holy Spirit living within you, because it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you is for how you can connect with the just and the unjust, the people who are already saved and the people who are looking for Jesus Christ and want to be saved. Otherwise, if you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you, it means you're not reaching anyone. You're not reaching the righteous, and you're not reaching the unrighteous. And if you're living in an unrighteous way after you're preaching behind the pulpit and you're doing what the world's doing, well, hell is not going to work for you. You're bringing other people down to hell. Now, folk who have the Holy Spirit living within them through Jesus Christ can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they can bring the word to God to the just and the unjust. And what I'm saying is that the Lord isn't picking who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. He's not a bureaucrat. That is up to you and me if we want to follow him or not. And by following him means we give up our old life. We give it up. We don't do what we did that separated us from him. We live according to the Lord Jesus Christ's way. We live for him. We don't live for ourselves. We live for him. And that means, community, we teach others about Jesus Christ in hopes that they will follow him as well. We become a better husband, and for the women who become better wives. We become better parents. A father and a mother become better parents to their children because they follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and they raise them to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. When you have Christ in your life, things do get better if you allow it to work. True, the enemy might throw things in your way, and I'm not going to lie to you about this, my friend. If you are willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy, who didn't care anything about you before, who made you feel like dirt, will try to do things to you to persuade you to turn away. Bad things may happen in your life, but rejoice Christ is with you, because why do we have things written down in Scripture, for us in the Old Testament? Joseph walked with God, and bad things happened to him, and we know by his life it all ended happily when he was governor of Egypt. Let me remind you, Jesus, who is our king, bad things happened to him. Think about it. His hometown of Nazareth didn't reject him. King Herod tried to kill him before he was 2 years old. In his last years of his earthly ministry, his good friend Peter was denied 3 times, and his good friend Judas would betray him. Then, being arrested, now, if you're being arrested, that's not a good thing. No one wants to be arrested, but yet, he was arrested, beaten up, tortured, all this before he went up to the cross. And then when he's on the cross, people mocking him. Is that a good day? Well, we know the victory that Christ brought us here. He would rise from the grave in 3 days. He would defeat sin that separated us from the Heavenly Father. And through him, we are saved. So he understands about sometimes, but yet he will do with you in the end, and things will turn out right for you in the end, is what I'm saying. And don't be discouraged that, well, bad things may happen to me because Satan's going to come after me. Rebuke the devil when you come to Christ, because you have that power. Because when you say the name of Jesus, he trembles. Why do you think anyone who's demonically possessed, when they hear the word of Jesus, they tell you to shut up? I don't want to hear that name. If you notice, the world out there, oh, they don't mind you pray in the name of God or Allah or anybody else, but the name of Jesus, they don't want it. Now, when I say God or in his name, I say that on purpose, because the thing of it is, because of what Jesus did upon the earth, the God the Father gave him full power upon the earth to cast out demons. See, if I wanted to cast out a demon, I couldn't say in his name. I couldn't even say in God's name. I had to say in the name of Jesus, because he paid the price here upon the earth. Did this make the Father above the Son? No. It means that the Father gave the Son authority. And using the Son's name, like with his authority, that's what casts out the demon. Right? Correct. So, being critical of God by saying, by using the name of God in the schools, you know what he's saying? But the reason why the world will go after Jesus is because the enemy hates that name, because when Jesus died upon that cross and resurrected, he took that key that Satan once held upon the earth. Jesus took it away from him. And through that name of Jesus, it meant power for any believer out there. And that's why the world hates that name. They hate that name of Jesus. They don't mind if you worship God and God alone, but Jesus, they don't want to hear that. Because his name does bring power. It brings power and repentance. And it's because authority upon the earth to have that power. All right? Well, let's go on about more about forgiveness. Let's continue on. Then, he said, a man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me. So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out of one of the local citizens who sent him to his farm and to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pod on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am dying from hunger. I shall set out and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat your hired workers. So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him, and he was filled with ran to his son, and embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But the father ordered his servant, quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf. Then let us celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine is dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he's been found. And the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered a fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. When he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat to feed on with my friends. When your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatter calf. He said to him, my son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and he was found. My friends out there, did you just listen to what this means? The father of the story, he represents God the Father. Rejoices when a lost son repents of his sin. He rejoices over you when you repent and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He rejoices that you are now home, because when you were in your mother's womb, before you were born, the Lord our God wanted fellowship with you. And now that you are saved and come to Him, you could have this fellowship. And that's what I've been saying. It doesn't matter what your past is, what you have done in your life. To the Lord Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father sees you alive again. He don't see you as a dead person walking. He sees you alive again. And He wants that fellowship with you. And with that fellowship through Jesus Christ, you will have it. And there's a celebration in heaven. And it should be throughout all the churches when you are saved, because you are that important to the Lord God's eyes. That's how important you are. And the brother, we could say, represents religion, we could say. And religion will always tell you you can never be forgiven of your sin. The world may tell you you can never be forgiven of your sin. But Christ's kind, my ways are not your ways, meaning that I forgive you. I accept you. Do not listen to what the enemy tells you. Do not listen to what people who live by the world tell you, and people who live by their own religion tell you, and tell you that you can never be saved, and you shouldn't be celebrated because you repented of your sins. Because what matters is that the Lord Jesus Christ has accepted you. And the thing of it is, my friend, if you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and you know someone who's repented of their sins, let us celebrate for that now accepted Jesus Christ as their sin, Jesus Christ as their Savior, that their sins are now wiped away. Let us rejoice together that Christ Jesus has changed it all. He paid it all. He paid it all so we could live with Him. He did this so you and I could live. So let's not be a religious people who go with religion. Let's be Christ people. Christ people who walk the way Jesus walked, who live the way Jesus lived, who welcome the lost and tell them, you are not lost anymore. Now you are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are my brother, and you're now my sister in Jesus Christ, and you are welcome to the same blessings that I am welcome, because we are together, brothers and sisters, and let us celebrate over your new found, because you found our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are now together, and we can celebrate together that the Lord Jesus Christ reigns, and He reigns throughout the world, and He reigns through our hearts, and He reigns through our bodies, and He reigns through our all, and He wants. And He has saved us, and He's molded us, and He's made us new. Let us rejoice about that, and let us be together with the Lord Jesus Christ, together. And let us not fall into the religious trap of believing you could be saved and you cannot be saved, and you don't have the right to be saved. That is not how the Lord works. The fact of it is, the Lord, His arms are open for all. His hands are open for all. His heart is open for all. It's up to you to accept Him as your Lord and Savior and feel the grace of God live within you, because what was past is past and never be brought up again to the Heavenly Father's eyes. And the true church, the ones who really follow the Lord Jesus Christ, will never bring up your past again, because you are no longer that person. Today, you are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are new. And that's who we look at you as, person, who you are now, not who you were in your past. because you are now blessed. You are now washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are now cleansed through Jesus Christ. And you are now a new creature in Him who will walk with Him forever and ever and forevermore. Amen. I say in the name of Jesus. Amen. My friends, we're going to stop here for today. Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening to this program later on through downloading it. And my friends, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your life. May you always walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and may you always remember, and may you always feel the Lord Jesus Christ living within your heart. And I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.